And all of God's people said, amen. What a blessing it has been today with all of our music, from our bell choir to the children singing to our praise team and our choir leading us and the instrumentals. We are definitely blessed with such great music here. Do you live in a one-story or two-story house? Rather interesting question to be considering on Easter Sunday. Maybe we can rephrase it a little bit. Do you really believe that there is life after death? This idea that we live on the first floor, the ground floor, the first story here, this world. But above and over this world, there's another world, the second story. Some people, they live in a one-story house. They don't know about the second story, or they may know about it, but they don't care about it. And so they live just in this world in a first-story home. And sometimes as believers, as Christians, we get too preoccupied with the first-story problems, with the world that is around us, and so our attention is focused elsewhere. We lose sight. We may even forget about that second story, that next world. My prayer today is for us all to turn our focus to the second story, for us to open up our minds and hearts to the gospel message of our resurrected Lord. Today, I live on the ground floor, the first story that is this world. But because of the resurrection, I hope to move upstairs when I pass on. I have hope and faith in Jesus. Therefore, the resurrection that came to Jesus will, in God's good time, come to all those who have faith and believe in Jesus. A time when all Christians will move on up to that second story. To live with eternity in view is to be Christian. To have a hope that reaches beyond this world and extends to the next is to be Christian. To know that that hope is Jesus Christ is to be Christian. Because of the resurrection, everything changed on Easter morning. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10 from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place and tell his disciples. He is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." First off, because of Jesus' resurrection, the mood changed. If we were to look back at chapters 26 and 27, they are pretty somber reads. Betrayals, trials, crucifixions. But in chapter 28, everything changed. The mood changed. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. for he's been raised to life. Nature honored the dead. There was an earthquake while Jesus hung on the cross. But now there's joyous shaking. Goodness had prevailed in spite of all the evil that was around. And so from this point onward in the New Testament, there's a joy. There's a brightness. Joy became the Christian style. Paul wrote in Philippians, "Rejoice, I say, rejoice always." Joyous shaking. When I read these two words, I was reminded of our trip to Haiti just a few weeks ago. And there, after just a long, hard day of working in the medical clinics, we went to church that night. And there, up in front, were the orphans. These children whose family couldn't afford to raise them for whatever reason, or may not have family at all, and so they were taken in by the orphanage. Alone, but they had their church family. And there in that worship service, I heard them sing praises to God. And then there was a little sway and some clapping. And even a little bit of dancing that I will not demonstrate. But it was some joyous shaking going on. And then I'm reminded of an old gentleman who lived in the village, that same town in Menard. He couldn't see really well, so he came to the eye clinic. I was there working with the dentist on some of the patients, and I heard a commotion going on. This old man had gotten a pair of glasses, and all of a sudden now he could see. So he said, "I'm going to go home. I'm walking home." But he didn't just walk. He started to strut. He had a little bit of a swag going on, and the joy in that church erupted. There was laughter, there were smiles, and so I pulled my phone out and I started the video, and they pointed to me, and the old man, he saw the camera, and he walked back down, and he tipped his hat. He had a little bit of a shake, a little bit of a Haitian swag, and he walked out. Joyous shaking. For someone who was hard to see, but now could see clearly. Because of the resurrection, everything changed. The mood changed. And then we see where God acted. God moved among the people. Again, if we look back at chapters 26 and 27, that story throughout the trials and the crucifixion of Jesus, God stood aside. It's almost like he let everything happen. Where those people, they seized and they killed Jesus. Where was God? Was he even able to do anything? These types of questions seem to surface whenever there's tragedy, no matter what time we live in. For those in the past generation during the Holocaust, asked that same question, where is God? Just recently, there was the 20th anniversary, I believe, of the Columbine shooting. Folks wondered, in that tragedy, where was God? Most recently, for those people in France, when their symbol of their faith, the Cathedral of Notre Dame, was burning down, many wondered, where is God? To maybe even share personally, when a loved one has passed away or when you get a bad health report, cancer. Where is God? I can't answer those questions. But as Cecil Sherman, pastor up in First Baptist Asheville, he once said, we can lift high the scripture that says that God is alive and aware. The same God who stood aside while Jesus was on the cross, he stepped up on Easter morning. He sent his Spirit to the church that same Spirit that is alive and well with us today. God continues and to act. All began on Easter morning. Because of the resurrection, understandings changed. This idea is implied, but we've seen it throughout the New Testament. For example, when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. He asked them and makes this question more personal, "Who do you say I am?" Peter responds, "The Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "You're right." And he goes on and tells him what's going to happen. He goes to Jerusalem and he must suffer and die. Peter, who had that same insight, who knew who Jesus was, who could answer that question, said, "That's not going to happen. God's going to forbid it." He didn't get it. He didn't understand until after Easter. Sometimes we can be a little harsh with disciples. Why didn't they get it? How could they not understand? Jesus told them exactly what was going to happen. But sometimes, too, we doubt. We don't understand. But it's only because of the resurrection that we can see clearly. Easter makes it clear. If you were here earlier at our sunrise service, I shared with folks how I woke up this morning and driving here to church, just a beautiful sunrise. The sky was lit up red, and then there was the moon. And all of a sudden, as you get closer to church, it's just a fog. You can't hardly see in front of you. But little by little through that sunrise service, that fog was lifted. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on around us. We don't understand the spiritual life and the message of Christ. But little by little, because of the resurrection, we're able to see clearly for what Christ has done for us. Because of the resurrection, the identity of Jesus changed. When the disciples saw Jesus after the resurrection, they acted differently. They took hold of him. They worshiped him. In a sense, Jesus was the same man that he always was before, but also in a deeper sense, he was profoundly changed in the eyes of the church. George Bullock, a biblical scholar, writes this: before Easter, Jesus was prophet, Jesus was Messiah. After Easter, all the old titles became too small. Tiny nets that could not sweep an ocean. After Jesus, Jesus was Lord. Jesus was the Word. He was our Savior. The event turned their blindness into piercing sight, their earthly ambition into brotherly love, their cowardice into courage, that feared no persecution or death. The resurrection is the great divide in our human history. We ask ourselves this question: who is Jesus? We can't answer it without the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, after Easter, we became a people on mission. We can't look over this last part of chapter 28, a very familiar passage, the Great Commission, but there are four things that happened so quickly. I want us to hold on to them today, this morning. The disciples, they worshiped. They grabbed hold of Jesus. They held on to him. We too are to worship Christ. They were empowered. All authority has been given to you. Mission work, ministry work is hard. We can't do it on our own. Being a Christian means being nice to other folks. You might be saying, "Well, have you met some of my coworkers?" But it's through the power of Christ, empowered to be that light, that brightness, to share that joy with them. We have been commissioned, go as you're going to make disciples. And then we are reminded that we are in the presence of Christ. Remember, I am with you always. Folks, as Christians, we are to live in a two-story house. Sometimes it's difficult to realize that second story is there. We forget the hope. We get preoccupied and too focused on the first floor problems. But the Easter event, the resurrection of Christ, reminds us of the hope of that next world that's coming. If you believe, then we are to go and to proclaim. We are to be people on mission, to share that same love with all those in need. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for all the many blessings that you bestowed upon me, upon this church family, these brothers and sisters that are gathered here today. And it's out of our gratitude, it's out of our abundance of blessings, God, that we give you thanks. And Lord, as we had prayed early today to return to you a portion of those blessings, may we go and to use all of our gifts, all of our talents, to go and to share them with others. Help us, Lord, to proclaim the good news, the hope of the resurrection, of eternal life in you, to all those who need to hear it. Lord, I pray you will put people in our path that need to know your love, that you will put a smile upon our face to share the good news with those that we meet today, this week, and the months to come. Again, we thank you for loving us. These things we pray in the name of the one who is resurrected today. Amen. We continue our worship this morning through